We would consider at this time the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, and that is found written in the insert in the bulletin, Lord's Day 49. What is the third petition? The answer is, given your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The explanation is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will, without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. And you have texts there that prove the founding of the teaching of the Catechism on the third petition in the Word of God. For our text this evening, we're going to consider the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 14. And we're going to consider the middle of the chapter, verses 12 through 27, which speaks of the fall from heaven of one called Lucifer. Lucifer here is a name for the one who was the Babylonian king at the time. And he's the head of the Babylonian Empire that was against Israel. And the demise of this Lucifer, this fallen king, is celebrated in the prophecy of Isaiah, that he's cut down and so on. His demise is that he's cut down, fallen from heaven. Now, this Lucifer we know to be a representative in type, this Babylonian king against Israel, of Satan himself and of Satan and his will to overthrow God and his kingdom. We shall be speaking as we consider the third prayer that we would make, the Lord's will be done. And so we read the Word of God here, of the demise of Satan, the certain destruction of the enemies of the people of God. Verse 12, Isaiah 14. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your own grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Thus far we read the destruction of Satan, because God himself is in the work, according to his counsel, of having his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is our petition. Jesus has given it to the church that we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you pray this prayer? Do you pray the prayer fervently, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you pray it when you face temptation? Do you pray it in diversity or in adversity? Do you pray it in storms and when you're in the boat, tempted to panic? Do You pray in all things, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done by me. That's the point of the prayer, that we personalize the petition, each of us, no matter how old or how young, that we be those who are doers and desirers to be doers of the Word of God. The reason is because this petition is bound up with the other two petitions, and we cannot pray them unless we pray this. The first prayer is, God's name be hallowed. That's our first concern, that the hallowing of the name of God. Well, this is done only in the way of God's will being done. We pray also, thy will be done, so that the kingdom may come, so that God's name is hallowed in the coming of the kingdom and the doing of the will of God. So there's a connection between this third petition and the first and the second, and indeed, there's a connection with all prayer. But more than that, there's a connection with the whole summary of the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism is dealing at this point with the Lord's Prayer, having done with the law, and it's all concerned about a people that's thankful and that renders obedience in proof of its thanks. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying that there will be a life of thanks by us in obedience to the will of God. We cannot overestimate the importance of this prayer, therefore. Obedience is what is called of the people of God. The people who believe in grace are called to obedience. Holy, godly responsibility becomes the people of God. This is, in fact, something for which worship itself cannot substitute. The Lord desires our obedience, and if we would worship and not be obeying Him, we ought to put our alms, put away our alms, instead obey Him, and then come back and worship Him. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, we are to obey God, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. This is so important, and it ought to be to us as well. But I would say, and I dare say this in light of the Word, that this petition, praying it and doing it, is impossible. And I bring out the impossibility of this in light of the Word of God that we've read about Satan and his power. This text in Isaiah is a prophecy of the ultimate demise of Satan. Actually, there are four falls of Satan, one of which when he originally rebelled from heaven and rebelled against God and took the third part of the angels with him. There is another demise of Satan when he's cast out when Jesus ascends, and there is the pit to which he is waiting for him ultimately. The problem for us is that Satan is still alive, and he is still, even though he's in his death throes, very powerful. And his concern in all the earth is that God's will not be done, and especially not be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's concerned that we may pray the prayer and actually mean it. And so he would give us to be hypocrites in praying the prayer. But when it comes down to it, when the rubber hits the road, when our theology is supposed to meet our work and our play and our relationships, he would tempt us so that we don't want to do the will of God. Instead, we do our own will. This is the demise of Satan, I say, that's predicted here, but that is yet fully to come, and it reminds us of the dangers, of the obstacles in our way and in our children's way, if we would pray this prayer and pray it purely, as Jesus tells us, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is, perfectly. So we want to consider prayerfully what the best thing is in all the world that we want. I want you each to consider that, and me myself. What do you want in this world? And those who may be listening on the internet, what do you want out of life, out of God? What do you want as a Christian? What's your desire? Jesus tells us, you ought to pray, God's will be done by me on earth as it is in heaven. And so that is our concern, that we may pray this prayer, thy will be done, First of all, we want to consider the doctrine of the Lord's Prayer at this point, and then the practice of it, and finally, the blessings of answers to this prayer, "Thy will be done." There is a difference of opinion with regard to exactly what is the will of God that's meant here. I want to make a careful distinction at this point, and I'll end up saying there is one aspect of the will of God that's especially emphasized, but we cannot do with neglecting both aspects of this will. First of all, the will of God for which we're praying would be done, and with regard to which we're praying that would be done on earth as it is in heaven, is His will of decree. We recognize that God is the God of a decree. That means He has a plan, He has a purpose. He is a willing, personal God who has plans and purposes in all of this world. God has a will, His will. He has a mind, He has a heart. He's just not a force. He's just not a force that's with us or against us. He is God, who is the willing triune God. He's always willing, in fact. He always has a will. As much as He's always thinking, as much as He's always working, He is always willing. And every act of His, therefore, is because He's willed it. He works all things, Ephesians 1:11, according to the counsel of His will. Beautiful word there, and scripture and doctrine to define what God is doing in the earth. He's working all things according to His will. That is His decree. Now, it's striking, too, we ought to remember this. Our theology, according to the Word of God, tells us that this God is always willing. That is, He always is willing something. And when He does things, it's always voluntary. That is, He's never one who engages in involuntary acts like we do. Lots of things we do, and we're involuntary in that. That is, we're breathing, for example. You actually will to breathe? You just breathe. Well, God's never this God who breathes, and it's just something that happens, and maybe happens to Him. And Father, in fact, God is such a willing God, and His will is always something that is occurring and affecting His actions, so much so that we could say that He's never compelled against His will of necessity to do something He does not want. Nor is He frustrated, as some people like to say, when they make a hypothetical and they say that God surely is desiring the salvation of every single human being, even the reprobate. Well, this would say that God is in conflict with His own will, according to which He acts and accomplishes all good things, everything in His desire. He has elected some, them He desires to save, certainly not all head for head. You see, God's willing is part of His nature. He's the willing God. And as part of His nature, His will, therefore, is divine. It's good, it's wise, it's almighty, it's powerful. God's will in creation and history is called of His decree, His good pleasure, His counsel. And Daniel 4:35 says in so many words that He does His will in the army of heaven as much as on the face of the earth. Job 23 reminds us that all His soul desires, everything that God wills in His decree, that He does. And if you look at Isaiah 14 and 24, 27, this is what God says with regard to the demise of Satan, with regard to it coming to pass. 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, "Surely as I've thought is mine, so it shall come to pass. And as I've purposed, so it shall stand." Verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Now there is the surety of the demise of Babylon and the Babylonian king and of Satan. We're so glad that this will of God is divine. Now what of the prayer then, "Thy will be done"? What about our prayer, "Thy will be done," with regard to God's decree? Can we say that that's what we're praying about? This will of God that's always done. Think of that. We've said, whenever God purposes something, it shall stand. Why would we be praying for that? How could we be praying for that it be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we know that it shall be done among the army of heaven and among the army of earth? All the hosts of His created, of His creative hand are in His control, and His will be done through them. What about it then? When we pray, "Thy will be done," are we having reference to this decree of God that will always be done? Is that the case? Say, for example, the will of God is like a mighty, almighty stream rushing from the fount of heaven, and no one can stop it. And we're by the stream, or in the stream, because we're a part of that will, of course. We actually need to be praying, "God, your will be done," knowing that it shall be done. Nothing can stop it on the earth. Is this what Jesus is meaning with regard to this prayer? Well, I would say yes, in a sense. We're always those who, when we pray, have God in mind. And certainly we have His decree in mind, His will in mind, when we pray, "His will be done." And so, when, for example, something happens and it's obviously out of our control, and we wouldn't have wanted it to happen this way, when you pray, "Thy will be done," you're simply praying for grace to receive God's will, His plan that's not yours, and to receive this humbly and meekly and wisely, because we acknowledge God. And certainly Jesus wants us to have this attitude when we're considering what it is to pray to God, the Father, our wonderful Father in heaven. So, for example, God sends death to our house. Well, we would pray with Job, wouldn't we? "Thy will be done." And we would pray to receive this so that we'd say, "Blessed be God who gives and who takes away." How contrary to the world is this resignation, this holy resignation to things that we cannot control. This is not mere stoicism and passivity, and que sera, sera, what will ever will be, will be. It's simply saying, "Thy will be done," as an attitude reflective of the peace that we have, knowing God's will is good and wise and holy. We pray to receive everything, so that without complaining and murmuring, as the Catechism says, we abide in our station and our calling. If our boss says something that's out of our control, and we can't resist that, he's ordered us to do something, some task we don't like, we're going to say to God, "Thy will be done." And we're going to do this will of our boss because we recognize God's hand in this whole thing. And so this is what Christians are concerned to be doing here, to have a great attitude with regard to God in our praying, "His will be done." But now, especially as the third petition is concerned, I believe that we are led by the Catechism and the Word of God itself to believe that this will is not strictly the decree of God, His eternal purpose that we're praying would be done, the rushing mighty stream. But we're praying that we might be doing, and that there might be done in all the earth, His will for us creatures to be doing, His commandments. We're praying for sanctification. Here's a prayer in the Lord's Prayer that we would be sanctified and holy, and that throughout the world there would be this remnant of the people of God who shows that we obey God and not man. That will of God for us is the Ten Commandments, the moral law, love God and love the neighbor. We pray that we and all the church would obey, and we would do this so that we don't need anybody else to tell us to do something here, because God's will is something that we're doing. We're praying for obedience, not disobedience. Not superficially do we want to perform our calling, but obeying God. That's the point. We want to obey God. It's a prayer to be sacred. It's a prayer in our work to be obeying God, even as we follow the orders of our boss. It's something we do in the home. "I will be done on earth, on the whole earth, as it is in heaven." We pray to be good students of God, as we are students of our earthly teachers and our mothers and fathers. We pray to be doing the will of God in our business, in our digging ditches, in our selling things, in buying things, in our building things, and even, yes, even in our sermon making. We pray to do the will of God. We pray for this, that the will of God may be done perfectly, as the angels of heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. What do the angels of heaven do in their obedience? Well, they do whatever they do, it's perfect. They have no sin. And especially do they serve God in serving the church. They are, in Hebrews 2, called the servants of the church, ministers of the elect of God. Well, following the angels, this is what we want to do. Servants of the church we want to be. And when you confess your faith and when you take up your place in the ranks of the congregation voluntarily and maturely, you're here saying, I am here to serve the church of Jesus Christ. This is my family. This is my home. This is where I die. This is where I live. This is where my commitment lies. This, I believe, is the place that God has called me to. On earth as it is in heaven, may the will of God be done by us. Now, the practice of this prayer is something that's resisted at every side. As we said in the introduction, there's a Satan among us. He's this roaring lion who wants to gobble us up. Children, he's lying behind every door. He's in every area of your life, is Satan. He's this terrible, roaring lion, and you're his prey. And he would prey upon you, especially because he loves to get at the people of God. He loves to get at us. Lucifer is the one who's described in this text in the type of the king of Babylon as someone who's going to be cut down to the ground. And this because he's weakened the nations in verse 12. And he's himself been someone who has rebelled against the will of God. You will note, against the will of God in verse 13, Satan has had his sermon of 5 points. Number one, I will ascend into heaven. Point number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Point three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Point four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Point five, I will be like the Most High. This is Satan's asseveration, his solemn declaration of his intention. This is what the Lucifer of old, who was a good angel, but who fell, did in his rebellion. It was his will against God's. His will against God. God had decreed that there be this in his inscrutable wisdom. Satan, responsible as he was for his evil, became the author of evil in his protest, especially at this point, the will of God that only God be God. Satan said, no, I want to share the throne. I will be over the throne and over all of the creation, especially those people that God has reserved to worship him. This is Satan's assault upon the earth. It was assault, first of all, on heaven's throne. And then the fool, when he was cast down from heaven, came to the earth and sought to get at men and weakened the nations by attacking their will. He attacked our first parents, Eve, and then Adam, by addressing their will, their desires. Yea, hath God said, you mean that God's really going to kill you? No, he's not. He knows that in the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, you shall be as God. In the day you do something that's contrary to what God has revealed and how tyrannical of him, isn't it? Satan whispered. In the day you do that, you're going to be free. You're going to be that new creation that is even as the uncreated one. You'll get to call the shots. You'll get to do what you want. Won't that be nice? Won't that be fun? Won't that be so that you can eat of any fruit of the garden? Won't it be so that you can have the friends you want, do the things you want, you can get up when you want, go to sleep when you want, do whatever you want, and not have to subdue this earth and fill it for the sake of someone else whom you hardly know? He's such a different being. He's God, after all, and you're creatures, and how can he relate to you? He attacked the will. And ever since then, the human race is fallen and depraved in its will. This is the plight of the human race, the bondage of the will. Luther was right. His best book, besides the German translation of the Bible, was his book, The Bondage of the Will. Every time October 31 comes around, when we celebrate Reformation Day, this is a celebration of Luther's rediscovery of the truth that the will of man is in bondage. It's exactly because of this Lucifer and his five-point sermon to be as God, which we have believed in the beginning and which is now our nature to believe. Writ large on the natural heart, on the flesh, is this stubbornness against the will of God. It's this prayerlessness with regard to the third petition when Jesus says we are to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the substitution of our own prayer. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Jesus' prayer, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is striking that Lucifer is described here in the type of one who is the king of Babylon, that terrible enemy, nemesis of the people of God. Babylon and Babel, the first rebellious kingdom and society against God, is ever the kingdom principally against which the church is and which is against the church. Babylon and all its hellions, Babylon and all its free willists, Babylon and all its Arminians, who cannot pray this prayer, ultimately, Thy will be done, if they be consistent Arminians, because they are concerned with their own will. And this is ultimately the pride of man. False theology is rooted in a concept of pride, something that is an aberration from the truth of the God who's God and whose will is great, and of the truth of our need for humility to acknowledge this. Babylon is composed, in the end of time, we read, also of a church gone astray. A church believing that if God's will is to be done, we have to be those who contribute something to salvation and who have something to say, and whether we're kept in salvation or not, something that depends upon us. Oh, beloved, we are those who are Reformed believers, truly, who believe that the will of God and obedience is the greatest thing, which is a gift from heaven. It's not something by which we earn something to heaven. It's a gift. And so when we're praying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying, Lord, sanctify us. We're praying, Lord, empower us, because we cannot obey. We cannot obey except we be made willing. This is the rub. The will is in bondage. Our will is in bondage except we be set free. We are bound to our habits. We are bound to our biases. We are bound to our predilections. We are bound to our own philosophies and our own perversions, except God say, I set you free, and I make you to be someone who actually and really has a heart for my will. And this is the key here. When we're praying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're actually admitting something. We need God. We need God to make us willing. Even to make us willing. We don't come halfway. We say, God, Your will be done. We're praying. I can't do it. You help me, Lord. Be my help. Be the sanctifier of my marriage so that it's not about me against my wife against me, one will butting up against another, two stubborn people. We pray. We pray that our children and their stubborn wills would be broken and humbled by God. We pray that we might know the purpose of the cross. This is what Jesus is leading to. And the disciples, when they were first taught the Lord's Prayer, couldn't understand that so much. But we, after the years of Jesus' ministry, And when he, at the end of his ministry, gave his life, we know what he was doing. He was dying for the brokenhearted, for the stubborn, for the proud, for the hellions who deserved to be the sons of Satan, but who are sons by God's own decree and grace of God. Now, beloved, when we're praying this, then, we're praying with regard to our sanctification and that God would help us. We're praying that we might be kept in the Word of God, because here, beloved, is where you have to learn the will of God. We're praying that we might not be guided by our feelings. Help me to go according to my guts. No. Help me to go according to your Word, the light of your Word. We're praying that we might be principled before we go out on a date and then give way to all that Satan wants us to give way to. We pray to be those who have the light of the Word and the consensus of the fathers and of our father and mother. We pray to be those who walk in that kind of obedience to which everybody agrees who is a godly man or woman. This is truly holiness. We don't go out by the next holiness movement and say, this is holiness. When you have fun in speaking tongues and you're frivolous with the Word of God and you have this great experience. No, holiness is defined by the Word of God and by the godly traditions of the fathers and the faith of our fathers living still. And we pray that we may be doing the will of God in the light of the cross and the light of the Savior, whose blood dripped for me and whose blood drips on me and washes me from all my unclean desires. Well, beloved, this is for great blessing. And again, Satan would keep us from the blessing. But when we pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God answers that prayer. God answers that prayer. Remember this morning, there was a prayer the disciples made, children, in the boat. And that prayer was, save us, we perish. When we pray, your will be done, we pray as those who are dying men and women in need of humility before the will of God and in need of the sanctifying Holy Spirit. That important it is to us. Lord, kill me if I will not do your will, but make me alive to do your will. That's what we pray. Make me alive to do your will. There's nothing else I desire on this earth but to do your will, to rest in your will, and to be obedient. Nothing do I desire besides that. Is that your confession? I will be a doer of the Word of God, a believer in the Word of God, and a doer of the Word of God. Well, beloved, the blessing is perhaps not much in earthly terms. Doing the will of God, and as the angels do in heaven, as the elect in heaven do themselves, we are those who will be opposed and who may not have much earthly success. We are those who, because of our holiness, will maybe be shunned because people want a more entertaining sort of worship. They'd rather not have to think so much, to sit still for 45 minutes. They'd rather be doing things that make for the papers and not for the pleasing of God. But here will be the blessing. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness. Do you want that blessing? That's heaven's blessing. That's the blessing of children of the Father. That will be done. That will be done then in heaven, where we will be not just playing harps, but doing the will of God and rejoicing as the sanctified people in heaven as it is in heaven. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray this prayer and mean it. We need, Lord, you to answer these prayers, without which we're in the bonds of our own stubbornness and stubborn desires. We need to be set free increasingly from Satan's grip. We need, O God, your Holy Spirit to inspire us, to enlighten us, to energize us, and to wean us away from this Babylon of a world. Lord, we pray as church, united to be, and praying, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this, Father, because we would hallow your name, and we would pray that your kingdom come, and this in the way of the obedience of the people of God, and in their praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless this congregation. We rise up from the preaching of the gospel to which we've attended today. May it be a blessing to us, light for our pathway, peace in the storms, and for obedience in all of life's opportunities. For Jesus' sake, amen.